Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Hey, it's Renal Podcast, the only podcast that has two shows on one, Wrestling Off the Handle and Quick Talks with Renal. Check it out. This is a great episode of Wrestling Off the Handle. We talk about wrestling, crown jewels, evolution, everything about wrestling and why we love it. Check it out.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Wrestling Off the Handles. It is October 26, 2018. To my left, we've got the Haitian Poppy, Renald Preville.
How you doing, guys?
And I, of course, am Kevin Javier. Our third, I wouldn't call him an occasional guest, our steady guest, Randy Vega, could not make it because it's his mother's birthday. Shout out to Mama Vega. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So let's just get right into it. Some recent events. Roman Reigns came out, said he had leukemia, had to drop the belt.
Yeah, on Monday Night Raw. It was a really sad, sad day.
Very emotional seeing that. I mean, it would obviously be extremely insensitive if that was a work. But, you know, sometimes with wrestling, it's like you don't really... You can think something's a work, but it turns out to be real. But I mean, what made me know it was legit was seeing, you know, when they came out and did the pose. And like, if you look at Seth Rollins in those clips, he's visibly crying.
Well, I don't see why you would think they would do a work for like, because they don't play with cancer. Because like, you know what, Connor, the cure for, no, not cure for,
yes,
Connor,
yes,
Connor, the, and stuff like that. And
that would be such bad PR.
Yeah. I understand what you mean because, you know, they've done like, you know, Big Show, they took that Big Show angle with his dead dad and everything.
Oh, yeah, with Boss Man, that was so tasteless.
But, you know, his dad died like 10 years before that.
Yeah, yeah, his dad had been dead, yeah. But
definitely WWE takes liberties from your life and put it into the show.
Yeah, because I remember it was around that same time when I think he won the championship title. And I don't know if his dad had just passed or it was already said and done.
His dad died away a long time ago, like when he was like in college.
Oh, okay. So they just kind of brought that back. Because I remember they were using that angle and then he had the belt, kissed it, you know, broke down in tears.
He actually talks about that. Actually, him doing that storyline helped him kind of deal with his father's death because he was really young when it happened. So.
Yeah, so he probably had a lot of just, you know, things bottled up.
Yeah, I didn't process stuff. And, you know, sometimes it happens with death.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, with opening up with Monday Night Raw, I knew something was up because, like, Roman came down with no shield gear. And I was like, oh, he doesn't know.
Yeah, he went to the ring as Joe on Hawaii.
Yeah. And he also, you know, he's missed a couple of house shows. So it was kind of, like, reported on a couple of news blogs that he's been gone. So no one really knew why. But then I was like, oh, this is why.
Then he admits he has leukemia, and the fans finally cheer him.
The man needs cancer to get over.
Oh, damn. My God. That's terrible.
How do you mean that like that? That sounded bad.
No, but I mean it's truth behind it. Like, fans have just – and I understand, like, them not wanting to see him because ever since Roman's been in, he's just been, like, shoved down our throats trying to make him – they've been giving him such a big push to be a top guy, and the fans rejected him. But now – I mean, when he does come back, and I'm not saying if, I'm saying when, because he's already beaten it. I have faith that he'll beat it again. And, you know, good luck, Joe Anawahi, Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. We look forward to seeing you back in the ring.
Yeah. You know what? I would say that the fans, I did see some people that were booing. And then once he said, like, his situation, then they were like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Like,
thank you, Roman. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, we start realizing, like, you know, this is real life, you know. The character, you can hate the character, but not the man. This is a real person. He has a family. He has real responsibilities and a real situation.
Once he said, like, oh, I had leukemia, and unfortunately it's back, the crowd went silent.
Yeah.
Everybody just stopped for a moment.
I've seen some douchebags say some stuff on the internet, but, you know, the internet's full of terrible people.
Yeah, but, I mean, anytime someone does something like that, you're going to end up with these trolls who say things like that.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate, of course. We've all dealt with it. Yeah. But, I mean, it's also, with the wrestling industry, you know, you got fans who will, you know, and a lot of the fans are kids who don't realize the weight of what they're saying.
Exactly.
You know, we're adults, so we realize, you know, that not necessarily, I mean, we're still comics, so I think that, you know, either it's all okay or none of it's okay as far as jokes and comedy. If you have a funny joke, there's a difference between a funny joke about cancer and you just saying something rude and you're just being insensitive. A mean person. Exactly.
You know, we talk about stuff online, the things people would say. Yeah, I probably said some dumb stuff on my MySpace when I was 14.
Oh, yeah, dude. But apparently, or as far as I know, because I've tried logging into my MySpace just because I wanted to delete it because, yeah, mine, same thing. I was, you know, 18 when I last made it, so everything was just like, I smoke cigarettes and weed and fuck off if you don't like it, blah, blah, blah. And every picture was like me, like, the last pictures I uploaded was from a 4th of July party that my neighbor threw, and every picture I'm like visibly drunk, cigarette in my mouth. I just look tore up.
There's this one picture that I hope never comes up, but one day I know it's going to.
You got a dick pic online?
Nah. I got a picture of me like my head leaning to the right. My one foot posted up on the wall. I had, this is when Cameron was popular at the time. So, you know, I had all pink. I had a pink shirt, pink bandana.
In my pink tee. Yep, yeah. In my pink tee.
And I had the biggest, like, eagle belt. Like, and I was, yeah. And some reason I put hookah shells on. I don't know why.
You put what?
Hookah shells on. I don't know. But they knew shooting is. But the shirt was.
Were they American. Solid gold hookah shells?
I'm pretty sure it was an American Eagle T-shirt. So like
to match your eagle belt.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if that ever goes on, you guys are going to find that online. It's not me, but it's me.
That's going to be the cover of your first comedy album. Or if you ever became a wrestler, someone, like when they brought up the picture of Stephanie McMahon, it's like, oh, this was Ronald before he was the Haitian Bobby. He was just a dude in pink.
A douchebag in pink. Yeah, but we got Evolution coming up this Sunday. I'm excited that this will be the first WWE pay-per-view for women, like all.
Yes, women. And I hope that it gets a good reception and keeps going because it's been far, you know, too long that they've, you know, not necessarily pushed women aside, but obviously, I mean, we've talked about it enough on previous podcasts of how women used to be portrayed in wrestling and how they are portrayed now. And it's great that they're finally getting, you know, being treated as athletes with talent and characters versus just, you know, side pieces.
Well, they're not
or arm candy.
They're not giving them a 30-second match. And you know what? I was like, oh, you know, because I was on my YouTube channel. Check it out, guys. It's Hey, it's Ronald. I do a Monday Night Raw reaction. And I was talking to one guy, and I was like, yo, they are starting. They started the whole Evolution. Give a woman a chance from the 30-second match, and then I'm watching Monday Night Raw, and I see another 30-second match. I'm like, what the hell, WWE? You say that you're going to give women more chances of wrestling, but then this match on Monday Night Raw was only for like 30 seconds. It was between Nia Jax and Natalya, or not Natalya, Jimmy Snuka's daughter.
Okay, and was that the main event?
No, it wasn't a main event, okay. But it was within the Monday Night Raw. I was like, you know what? They're still not really giving them as much chance as they're saying.
Yeah, because a 30-second match is inexcusable.
And they're doing a battle royal, and it's like some of the girls don't want to be in the battle royal.
Why?
Because they, you okay, a battle royal is fun, but it's too many people. No one really knows, pays attention to anyone until, you know, the last four.
Yeah, and there's going to be a handful that come out and just like the Royal Rumble, where they come out and they're like eliminated within like 10 seconds. I remember one, it was one Royal Rumble where Kane was the last one eliminated by Stone Cold, but he still holds the record for like he eliminated like 19 people or something in that.
Okay, I remember that, yeah.
That year.
Just and, a bunch of uppercuts.
Yeah, but that was the one where Drew Carey was actually the special guest.
And, Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble?
Someone else came out. They, like, it was a double elimination, like kind of like how Rock and Batista did.
Yeah.
And then Drew Carey was the only person left in the ring, and then out comes Kane. And then he had a stare down with Kane, and then he just eliminated himself. He just got out of the ring and was like, nope.
I gotta see that, man. I love that.
But that same Royal Rumble, too, Taz came out. And I forgot what exactly he did, but he got out, he got on the ropes, and then someone just like it was an Irish whip, so he got whipped into someone, and before he even got in the ring, just pff, done.
You know, they said I was listening to an interview with Taz, and he was talking about how his WWE run wasn't always great because, you know, because he was coming from ECW, so that probably was
shitty booking.
Yeah, he does. He talks about that. Like, he did get a lot of crappy booking because of he had some heat from ECW.
Yeah, but they've also said that, like, Taz, like, as a person was, like, he's not at all, like, his persona. Yeah. Like, because they booked him as, you know, like, he was from, like, Red Hook, Brooklyn, and he was a thug and this and that, but it was all just a work.
Yeah, well, he was a nice guy, but also, like, there's some rumors that he was kind of stiff, too, so, you know.
Well, did you ever hear the story, the Rob Van Dam pick a hand story?
Yeah, I've heard of that. New Jack, I gotta look up New Jack. We talk about him in probably every episode, and because you should, you know.
Oh no, he's a terrible wrestler, but a great promo. Like, yeah. The guy has such. If his in ring skills were as good as his mic skills, he would be great. Yeah. But he's not.
He said New Jack said that Rob Van Dam isn't a good because Rob Van Dam said New Jack isn't a good wrestler, and then New Jack says, "Well, you not a good wrestler either. If I ain't a good wrestler, then you not. You be doing that choreography." Kind of shit. I'm like, wait, isn't that what wrestling is?
Yeah, but also, the thing about New Jack, too, is I think any time he's on TV or doing an interview, the guy is just so coked out that he just says the first thing that comes to his mind. Now, New Jack, if you are listening, this is just a joke. Because I know that guy has no issues. He'll beat the shit out of a fan, yes. No problem.
Yes, he will. I think he's done that, actually. Start fighting fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw, they talked about for Evolution will be Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. That actually, because Nikki Bella, that promo that Ronda Rousey last week ran on Nikki, made it, the ticket sales, like, go sky high. Like,
well, yeah, because they made it personal where they, like, talked about her mother. And
yeah. Well, it's a shoot that, you know, that she's John Cena and Nikki Bella are back together. They've been together. It's just a work. They're not separated or anything like that.
No, yeah, because I know they had that thing on, like, Total Bellas or Total Divas, the show that they have on the WWE Network.
Why every dude act like they don't watch that show? Just be proud, man. You watch this shit, man.
I mean, I've seen clips. I just don't know the name. I've seen, like, clips here and there because I like watching the behind-the-scenes stuff of wrestling because I actually like seeing, you know, how they are as people versus their in-ring characters.
Well, they're talking about they actually hit low ratings this recently.
The Total Bellas?
Yeah, Total Divas.
Well, I mean, it's just like any reality show. You know, it's got a kind of got a shelf life. It's like Jersey Shore or The Real World or, you know, all those MTV things where
Jersey Shore came back.
They did?
Yeah, there's Jersey Shore Vacation. It's like, I don't know, they're like in their 30s, mid-30s. And they just came back and just record them doing the same stuff, just going out partying.
Well, if they're in their mid thirties and still doing the same stuff, that's just sad.
Well, isn't that crazy that they're, cause like two of them are married and have children. They're not doing that crazy, but they just pretty much just have them at the shore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I hated that show when it was on the air, and
oh, you weren't fist bumping, man.
No, I mean, I was in college when that show was on the air. My brother was real into it, yeah. And. Yeah, I just didn't get it.
It was such a douchey time, and yeah, I was part of that.
Oh, God.
Had a V-neck shirt, just ripped, and going to the club, fist bumping. Had a rosary on my neck. Yeah.
See, I don't know. I just never was a club guy. I've been to a handful. Like, I went to some raves and stuff, but I just don't like the whole club environment. Just because a lot of the time I don't like the music that's playing and I don't like the people that are around me. I'd much rather a bar or a lounge where I could just...
I mean, now...
Or a house party. Like, that. When I was in college, like, that's what I went to. Just a lot of concerts and house parties. And house parties were always more fun to me because it was people I knew and enjoyed.
Yeah.
And there was always a keg there, so I didn't have to... All it was, you'd bring a six-pack. You know, it's not like you're paying... And yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, I refuse to pay fucking... $10 for a Bud Light.
Yeah, I used
you
to
could suck my dick.
I used to spend go to the club all the time, every week. I forgot what it was, ladies' night. It was either ladies' night or college night. We would go out every college night, and because I think it would be like $5 to get in.
To get in, okay.
Yeah, and then it's like everything was like maybe like $10 a cup.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
So you were in there, you had a popped collar, a pink shirt.
No, I didn't wear a pink shirt.
Did you have a blowout?
Nah, I don't think I'm black.
I mean, okay, that would have been just a fro. I'm sorry. I ain't gonna lie, I did have a blowout though. I wasn't part of that scene, but that haircut looked good on me, or I thought it did at the time. It probably still made me look like a douche, but
I think no matter where part of life you are, like when you get older, you can go back and look at yourself and be like, oh, I was a douchebag there. I didn't look good there.
Oh, are you kidding me, dude? I used to make, like, me and my friends would make these, like, Jackass-style, like, videos when we were in high school. And I would film them on, like, this little camera I had that had, like, 30 seconds. And we made two videos, and I put them on YouTube. And I took them down once I was in film school because I wanted to be respected. But then, like, I've thought about it, and, like, a couple of the friends that I was there and made the videos with, I've, like, talked about them with it in high school or post-high school. And I just, like, I look at those videos and I'm just like, this is why I didn't get laid for 4 years. like this is why I got no play in high school. Because I was running around doing this fucking shit, thinking it was cool.
This is evidence now?
Yeah, pretty much. It's evidence of why I changed.
Got you, right.
And then that group of friends, I mean, when I was working at that call center I was telling you about where I reunited with a couple of them.
Yeah.
It was just sad because it's like, you know, they're still the same people they were back then, and no one grew as a person.
Yeah, I got a couple people in my life that like that. excuse me, guys. But yeah, I got a couple people in my life that like are actually even older than me and are still doing the stuff that, you know, I was doing. And it's like, you know, I don't need to be around them.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's kind of one of those things now where it's like you think you can hang out with like 20-year-olds and then you hang out with them and you're like, nope, I'm 30.
Yeah, that's it. I'll be 30 in this week. This is my last.
Oh shit! It's your last hoorah.
Yeah, it's my last week in my 20s.
Last week in your 20s, so yes. You better go out with a bang.
I'm gonna do meth. Let's start the 30s with a bang.
30's my limit.
But Evolution will be this Sunday. I'm probably going to check it out. They're going to have the Mae Young Classic, the two competitors. There's really nothing else I'm really that excited about other than it being the first, you know, WWE all-woman pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the ratings are great for it. That way they continue it and then continue to give women better spots. But there's certain, like, things that, like I said before, like an all-woman Hell in a Cell would just be terrible because, like,
they that's did. Just...
Oh, they did an all-woman Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, where Charlotte powerbombed Sasha off, like, she was powerbombed her off of it into it. But, yeah, like, to me, that, like I said on our first podcast, that would just be too brutal. I don't want to see women bleeding from their heads taking chair shots getting choke slammed on thumbtacks.
Have you seen any women take chair shots recently on WWE?
I don't think I've ever seen a woman take a chair shot, or maybe I think the only 90s, one,
yeah, definitely.
Maybe China, yeah, I think China maybe took a chair shot or two, but I mean, no, like in this turn age, no, I've never seen that. Like, I've never seen a woman match where they even used weapons.
No, they had to, right? I don't know, you guys look it up and let us know in the comments about that one.
But one thing Ronaldo and I were talking about was because we've got Crown Jewel and everyone knows the controversy surrounding that, but we were thinking, like, what if Crown Jewel took place during the Attitude Era? Like, how insane would that be?
It would never happen because the Attitude Era, you know, even though the Attitude Era was a good time, there's a lot of garbage.
Oh, no, yeah, there were a lot of, well, because a lot of it was Vince Russo.
Yeah.
That's why. But imagine that, though, like, you know, they go over there and it's like, you know, they know how sexist and misogynistic the culture is. Then they bring out China and it's like, oh, here we have a woman who can take on men.
Exactly.
And then China wins a match and becomes a champion in Saudi Arabia, starts World War III.
And she starts driving and it's like, this is why we can drive.
Yeah, like what if China was like their Susan B. Anthony? Starts like a suffragette movement in Saudi Arabia.
It probably could work.
Yeah, that Crown Jewel would end in a beheading. And then you had the Un-Americans, where you had Lance Storm, Tess, and Christian back when they were doing this.
You got to say Christian. Christian! Christian! I honestly, that was his best run.
Yeah, it was. Well, And I liked that character, even though like the character kind of sucked, where it's like he had that, like, he would throw these like temper tantrums whenever he lost and would like sit there and pout and shit. But Jericho had a great promo on him where he's like, you know, yeah, when you come out to the ring, your music sounds a little like this. Christian, Christian, the jackass of the year.
Oh, I love Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's the best.
Oh, no. Chris Jericho always had great mic skills, and he was also funny.
Yeah.
He was also a very funny guy to watch.
You just made the list. but, you know, Crown Jewel, it's going to be kind of crazy because two of the bigger stars in WWE that I know has to have a lot of cachet is John Cena and Daniel Bryan. Both are supposedly refusing to go to Crown Jewel.
Well, I mean, and it makes sense that John Cena would, because he's got movie deals, he's got so much other things going for him that if he was to back out of Crown Jewel, it wouldn't hurt him financially, because he's got other avenues to make money.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt any of the wrestlers financially. I think it's just, well, John, I see what you say would help hurt John Cena, but I would think, like, with the movie things, because he is like a face for like those type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Those type of movies, those TV movies, not TV movies, but those PG.
Yeah, they'll like straight to DVD, like B-level action movies so that they're doing.
Not even that action movies. I'm talking about those little kid movies that he does and stuff like that. So it would hurt him that way. But I don't think anyone – it's them not wanting to go is kind of like telling WWE, like, hey, you got to take a look at ourselves. Like, the money's great, but – this country isn't doing good to their own people.
Oh, no, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't believe Vince McMahon has much of a heart. So, to him, I don't think there's anything on his weighing on his conscience as far as feeling bad about making that deal or anything. Yeah. But what's also interesting, too, is that the fact that a headlining match, it's Kane and Undertaker versus DX. Mm-hmm. And now Kane is a politician. He's the mayor of Knoxville County in Tennessee. So I think that's interesting in itself that they would have a American politician close out the match.
True.
And the fact that they just killed a journalist, and the headlining match has a wrestler by the name of The Undertaker.
that was unintentional. But I think it's not going to make anyone – WWE's going to go because they want to go, or they're actually thoughts of actually being in England. They're going to move at the last minute.
To England. Well, that would make sense. I mean, we're diplomatically better with England, but what if, like, Crown Jewel is what, like, brings, like, it betters our relations with the Saudis? Like, because he, you know, Linda McMahon works for the Trump cabin, so maybe he was trying to broker a deal there, and then, you know, she's the one going, hey, you know, all that peace with the Saudis, you kind of owe us one.
You know, I had a conversation with one guy at my work, and he was saying that, you know, we all talking about what they do with their country, but at the end of the day, it's their country, so we should kind of, like, stay out of it. And I was like,
I mean, stay out of it, but at the same time, we don't have to condone it, and we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of terrible things going on there. I mean, it's a place where, you know, public executions are still a thing.
Yeah.
But how great would it be? Like, Undertaker goes out there and just, Jamal Khushkagi, rest in pieces.
The views by Kevin Javier are not
reflected on that podcast. But hey, funny is funny, and that would be fucking hilarious. And if it was the Attitude Era, you goddamn right they would do that.
The Attitude Era would do some crazy stuff like that. You know, we were watching a couple of indie matches, and we were saying that you feel that the indies better because they get freedom to do more things, right?
I like the indies, yeah, because they have more creative freedom with their characters. There's a lot of moves that are banned in the WWE that they are still allowed to do in the indies. And also with the indie wrestlers give the indie leagues, you know, promotions, I should say, the indie promotions such as New Japan, Ring of Honor – they obviously, every promotion has like a type of wrestler they look for, but I feel like they give more credit to the cruiserweight guys. They get more shots. They get a lot more opportunities that they probably wouldn't get in the, you know, land of big men.
the land of big man is the WWE because Vince is always like that. And, you know, you're going to see more, you're going to see a lot smaller guys on these smaller shows because they're not everyone's 6 foot tall. Your average height is 5'10". So obviously you're going to see more of those guys on indie shows.
That too, but it's also, you know, with the indies you have, it reminded me of like what I liked about wrestling in the 90s where it's, you know, they would have, people had different styles. You know, there was high flyers, there was the big men, there were guys who were more technical, you know, did a lot more holds and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas in recent times, the WWE, it's been that just kind of big man style where they just kind of stand there and fake punch each other.
With that and also the roll up, I'm really so tired of that. Let me kind of just finish a match. Someone either gets beat up really bad or a crazy move comes out of nowhere. Like
you're tired of just seeing like the schoolboy, right?
Yeah, I'm so tired of that.
The sneak.
Yeah, I'm so tired of that. It's so annoying. But they do that, you know what, saves time. Because then they have to do ads for commercials. They also do commercials while within when you're in the arena. So
yeah, yeah.
For TV stuff. But it's like so annoying. It's like, I don't want to see this. Like, I want to see a real match. So that's mm-hmm. why it's best to go. If you're ever down and you know, actually the WWE, if you go to a house show, is probably best to go to. Not a TV taping.
Yeah, because those, like, the storylines are suspended and it's more, it's kind of their, like, it's their open mic where they're just kind of going there to, you know, perfect their skills, kind of, you know, work on their move sets, maybe things, maybe moves that they haven't perfected and they kind of want to work on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like a house show would be where, a house show would interest me because that's where it's just straight matches.
Yeah.
There's no storylines. You may get like, you know, a couple promos in between. And that's the thing too. I don't know if in the indie scene that if they're all written promos, mm-hmm. but I know with, you know, WWE, they're reading off teleprompters.
You have to, yeah. There's like there's a few people that get can get off the leash and say whatever they want. And
yeah, like the Rock.
The Rock doesn't even get to, really.
Huh.
He has bullet points of what he can and can't say.
Okay, yeah,
yeah, but like,
but I mean, there's certain guys that like they, you know, from the '90s have had their.
I'm gonna interrupt you real quick.
Go on.
When John Cena and The Rock came, when The Rock came back and they had a feud with John Cena. John Cena apparently called out The Rock because The Rock had a little bit of notes in his sweatband. So, like, they really actually had some real heat. Like,
oh, because he called him out for his notes.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you got notes. If you're the man, why do you need notes if you can do all these promos?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
Well, it's just like there was a promo in Ring of Honor. It was between Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega, where I guess Kenny Omega said that Cody Rhodes was a WWE reject. And then he said, you know, oh, yeah, he said, I'm a reject from my former company when he's a reject from its developmental stage. Yeah, because Kenny Omega was a part of – he was three times, I think, from – it was – before it was NXT, I believe it was Florida Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they sent him there, and he was, fired from it. And he claims that he's been – like, since he's gotten over in the indie leagues, he's gotten numerous offers to go back, and he's just been turning them down, which I can't blame him because it's got to suck to go from, say, you're a good indie wrestler, and, you know, you get all this creative freedom to then going to, like, here's a script.
Yeah. And
being able to cut your own promos. And, I mean, I'm sure they have certain restrictions as far as, like, you can't curse, you can't, you know, because it's TV taping, there's certain things you can't say. But they're able to get a little more personal.
And they have full right. They have
full rights to their characters.
Yeah, they tell you what to do. Like, you can't go and say, like, you know, I really don't want to do this because I don't think this is a good idea. It's like, well, you know, you got to do business.
And it would suck too if, like, imagine you, like, for example, Marty Scurll, who his gimmick is working great for him. He's got a great entrance. He's, you know, got the whole the costume going for him. He's got the umbrella as the weapon. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the villain persona. But then if he was to go to, say, WWE, they'd give him an entire new thing. And, yeah, you're no longer the villain. You're fucking, I don't know, the nemesis or some shit.
Well, either, or they'll do that. They'll give you, they'll maybe let you do the villain. Because, like, you know, you got AJ Styles that gets to keep AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe gets to keep Samoa Joe. There are people that do that. But then they start, like, it may not be your time. You might be hot on the indies. You might be killing it on the indies. But, you know, because they don't want you to be the guy right now because they're focused all their
attention on someone else.
Yeah. Because Ricochet should be on the main roster by now.
Oh yeah, no, Ricochet is great, yeah. And that's a guy who, yeah, he's kind of a bit of an anomaly because he's a tall dude, yeah. But he can still, you know, move like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, he should be in, especially now that Rey's back. That's so dope that Rey Mysterio is back and still looks, and he looks bigger than he.
Well, not taller.
Yeah, you can't fix that, yeah. But he's in shape, man. That's a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, exactly. He's older and can still wrestle and moves like he was, you know, like he was in his youngers. Yeah. And I still got to see the match between him and Will Ospreay, but like that Will Ospreay is one of my favorite guys in the indies because that guy can high fly and can put on real, like, he's the only guy I've seen that can match Ricochet's skills.
You know, you talk about the high flyers. I kind of like the submissions.
Marty Scurll is very technical like that.
I like that. Like, even though, you know, can't say his name, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko. I love
that. Oh, yeah, Dean Malenko, the man of 1,000 holds.
Yeah. Chris Jericho even got some holds. If you really look into his repertoire, mm-hmm. like before, he has a lot of cool, like, submissions himself.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we're obviously not condoning anything Chris Benoit did, and what he did was terrible.
Yeah.
But on, you know, it's obviously hard to say his name without that coming to mind, of course. But his in-ring talent, I mean, he was always a very talented guy and very technical, too, where he can do a bunch of holds. He can,
Perry Saturn.
Perry Saturn was all four of the Radicals. They were all very...
Oh, Eddie. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you had Eddie, Dean... Chris and Perry Saturn, yeah, all four of them. That was like the original invasion angle.
Yeah, no, there was a radical.
Oh yeah, they were. Well, it was kind of an invasion angle because they all were free agents from WCW. Then they like showed up in the crowd, and then they beat up somebody, and then they were like in Mick Foley's corner because apparently he like brought them over.
Yeah, because they used to work in WCW together.
Yeah,
as I think he was Cactus Jack back then.
Yeah, yeah, he was Cactus Jack in WCW.
Yo, some of these older guys are coming back now. Do you feel like there's be more attention since Rey Mysterio's back in the game? Like, will you have a title run, or is it just kind of like, all right, you know, I'm here to get my check, do a couple matches, I'm out.
I hope that they didn't bring Rey in as an enhancement talent because that would be such a waste. Because the guy can do so much that I hope they don't, you know, hire him just to put people over. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Do you think he's gonna wrestle who? He's gonna have a match with The Miz, obviously.
Miz is if Ricochet comes up to the main roster, him and Rey can have great matches.
Yeah, but I don't know if Vince wants that.
Yeah, I don't know because Vince tends to like he likes his homegrown stars, and when someone comes from another company, he kind of puts them on the shelf for a little bit before he gives them a push.
You know, The Miz is kind of an enhancement talent himself, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. He is, but The Miz, I believe The Miz has earned his keep in the company. Yeah. He's been there for a long time, and he did not have it easy coming from the real world. And he was, you know, really hazed almost mercilessly.
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
But I give the guy credit for, you know, he endured all the hazing. He never quit. He never gave up. And, you know, anytime things did not go, like, I think it was he did a promo with Enzo when Enzo was still there and was, you know, telling him, like, look, I see so much potential in you. I have rubbed people the wrong way. I've pissed people off in the locker room, but I regrouped. I rebranded. I changed who I was. I adapted. And he's like, you know, I don't see, like, and was basically telling him, like, you know, you can do the same shit.
Mm-hmm. That was a promo he said?
Yeah, it was a promo between him and Enzo.
Oh. Okay.
It was after like him and Big Cass split, and then they were trying to, you know, push him. Because Cass was supposed to be, you know, the next big man, but of course he rubbed a bunch of people the wrong way in the locker room because he was just an avid Trump supporter.
Yeah. Hey, if you listen to my podcast, if you're a Trump supporter, fuck you.
Fuck you, but keep listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. We're doing a wrestling podcast. There's a handful. There's no doubt that. But, you know, hey.
There's at least 100 of them.
Yeah, exactly. But even though wrestling has, I'm sure, a bunch of Trump-supporting fans, because wrestling, let's face it, is a big sport in the southern region of this country. Mm-hmm. But it's like I said on the last podcast, it's the only place where you will see people, you know, who may have some bigoted and racist views. But then when Goldberg comes out. They're cheering Goldberg. Yeah. Booker T comes out. All of a sudden, can you dig it, sucker?
That's my ringtone. No, but yeah, you know, it is what it is. But Will Ospreay is the guy you can talk about a lot. I want to see his wrestling.
No, dude, he's a great high flyer, and he's got a great finisher, too, where it's like he jumps off the ring, and then it turns into like a swinging neck breaker.
Oh, I want to see that move. Well, Crown Jewel will be right after Evolution. We didn't talk about this. The biggest story on Raw, Dean Ambrose going heel.
Yes, which I'm happy that he's getting a heel run, because Dean has – he's a great promo, a great wrestler, but he's a convincing heel.
Yeah.
Because he's got the face for it, and he's got the attitude, because he was always like the...
The Lunatic Fringe.
Yeah, like I felt when he first came out with the Lunatic Fringe, they were kind of trying to build him to be like a... kind of in the vein of Brian Pillman.
Well, you know what? The Lunatic Fringe thing, that's what Michael Cole used to call Randy Orton.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Michael Cole has definitely reused a lot of his lingo to for different superstars.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's a hundred of them. But yeah, no, it's crazy because now he's the Intercontinental, Seth Rollins, the Intercontinental Champion and the Tag Champion, and now has to be a champion, co-champion with the guy that just beat him up on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that when they have matches, they're going to drop the titles, because basically what's going to happen is, or my prediction is, they're going to get in a match. I don't know who the opponents are going to be, but it's going to come a time where either Seth is in the ring and Dean doesn't help him, or I could see them doing the opposite where, you know, Dean is in there trying to reach for a tag, and then Seth is just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And okay. then they drop the titles, and then they fight, you know, another thing where, like, then kind of Seth gets his revenge.
Yeah.
And then it builds a feud for them for the Intercontinental title.
Well, the reason why people are trying to figure out, like, why, because I've been teasing this heel run for like a long time, this heel angle, and it didn't happen. And then, you know, Roman lets us know that won't be wrestling for a while. He's taking hiatus and getting healed. The reason why they were going to do this heel run, but unfortunately, Dean got hurt and then they had to move on.
Right.
So they were really, really going to do this already.
But now with Roman gone, it's a perfect opportunity for him to do the heel run.
Yeah, the Shield, because there won't be a Shield. So it'll be Roman and
Roman and Seth.
No, it'll be Seth and Dean.
Seth and Dean, I'm sorry. Yeah, Seth and Dean having a feud.
For the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm. And that can be a real good feud because there's so much history between those guys. Mm-hmm. They both obviously have a lot to talk about. They've got dirt on each other. So I feel like that could be very entertaining.
Yeah, it'll be a great couple of matches. It would be like brother versus brother, you know. And you know, shout out to Seth for winning every title in WWE.
Yeah, man, good for him.
Except the cruiserweight title, but he's pretty much won everything.
Yeah,
tag titles, United States title, Universal title.
I've always felt Seth because Seth is a heavy metal guy, so I got that in common with him, and I always loved his theme song. Too.
I just like that he had two different color hair.
Oh, yeah, when he had the fucking blonde streak through his hair.
I thought that was kind of cool,
Looking like a pastry.
All right, I think we're going to wrap it up with this. You know, you got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. This is Wrestling Off the Handles. More than likely next week, our resident ginger, Randy Vega, will be back. But, you know, he's out doing family stuff. Happy birthday, Mama Vega.
Happy birthday.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is Kevin Javier. You can find me on Instagram as Javier Comedy. And, of course, my co-host, Ronald Privo.
You can find me everywhere at Hey It's Ronald. That's Hey ITS Ronald. Everywhere on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Check it out on YouTube. I do a Monday Night Raw, do a live reaction. And also on SmackDown, do a live reaction. And then the next day, I talk about my thoughts on what I just watched. Check it out on my YouTube channel. Hey, it's Ronald. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.